I have a burden to teach on the Church of God today. I thank the Lord for the true church. And as I've been reading and studying it, it's just made it all new to me. And I know sometimes we feel like, well, we know the doctrine. But you know, we need to realize that we need to hear it. We need to hear it over and over because it's so good for us to protect us and to keep our vision clear. I thank the Lord that He has a church. He has a people that are saved and sanctified and that love Him and that are willing to walk in the light that He would show them. So thankful that He can show us and He can guide us by His Holy Spirit. I'd like to read in Acts 20 and desire your prayers. It says in the 28th verse of Acts 20, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Every one of us have to answer to God. I can't answer for you, and you can't answer for me. God knows what light you have. God knows what light I have. God understands all about us, and we have to take heed to ourselves. We have to take heed to ourselves that we stay with the saints, that we stay with the truth, that we listen to God's voice, because there's only two ways to go when we die, and that's heaven or hell. And it is very serious as we walk in this world. It's very serious that we listen to God's voice. It says, "Take heed to yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." You know, the Holy Ghost is the one that works with the ministers, that gives them inspiration, that gives them messages. The Holy Ghost is behind this. You know, man, woman, a person cannot really feed you. But it takes the Holy Spirit. They're just a vessel. They read the Word, and God anoints that. But the Holy Spirit can mete out to everyone this morning what they need. And you know, if we look at it that way, we can all get good from the Word of God. I can get good from it. And you know, I just love the Church of God. I share this message with you this morning because it's from my heart. I love God's church. And I know there's, as far as I know, everyone here loves God's church. God knows your heart. But I know the majority here loves God's church. And they want to do the right thing. I have that confidence. And I want to encourage you this morning. The Lord wants to encourage you to listen to God's word. He purchased the church with His own blood. There was no other way that we could be saved except through the blood of Christ. And we heard a song this morning. Sister Connie had exhortation about the blood. There is only one way that we can be saved, and that is through the blood. And there is power in the blood. There is so much power in that blood. It redeemed me from sin. It saved you from sin. And through that blood, we are saved. And through that blood, we are sanctified. Through the cleansing of the blood gives us power to be saved and sanctified. It gives us power to be kept in this world by the blood of the Lamb. It gives us power over Satan, power over sin. We are not just saints without any help. Our help is through the blood. We are one through the blood. We unity through the blood. The blood ties us together. The blood organizes us and helps us. The blood is all powerful. And I thank God for His church of God. It says to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. It, you know, I was thinking as we read these scriptures this morning, it doesn't say the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the Catholics. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It says the church of God. You know, I was thinking there's a verse, you know, even a child can lead. Even a fool wouldn't err therein. If we really want the truth, if we really want the Word of God, if we really are hungry after it, saints, and we study the Word of God and really pray, God will help us to understand that this is the right way, that this is. And we know, and we've said it over and over, we know there's other people that are saved. But the thing is the saints have the doctrines, and they teach the doctrines right, and they're really saved people that are we're working with. And God has given us light, and before that, we respect that. We respect one another for that. And we honor that because God honors that. And we, even though, you know, we're a small group compared to many people that are saved, God has still called us to be a light. He has a church in this world. He has called us to a great calling. And we are responsible to teach and preach and live it. The ones that have died and went on that taught the truth, it's our turn now to be faithful. And someday we will die and go on. We hope and pray. We know that God will always have a church. He'll always have ministers. He'll always have teachers. God will always have a church. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell try to prevail against it, but the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Because we believe that God is the great God. He is all powerful. And he purchased it with his own blood. Aren't we so thankful this morning for the blood of Jesus? I'm going to read in Acts 2 and 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, right now somebody could be getting saved here in America or in another country, but the Lord knows them that are his, and everyone that names the name of Christ are commanded to depart from iniquity or depart from sin. You just are not saving, you're not Christians that are sinning Christians. We're not sinning Christians. We're Christians that live holy lives, that have departed from iniquity or departed from sin. We don't live that way. We live holy lives. We're carefulness. We have a carefulness toward God. We want to keep in contact with him and have a personal relationship with God. Even though individually we have personal relationships with God, then when we come collectively, that's what blesses, that what brings the glory down, is the holiness, the righteousness. When we come together, that's what has the Lord come and meet with us. We do not have musical instruments to entertain people. We do not have things to entertain people, but we have God. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the greatest thing. And we don't need those things. And thank the Lord. And it said that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to read over here in St. John 3. It says here, Jesus answered. He was talking to Nicodemus and later on in that chapter. But it says here, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We wonder why sometimes that we're working with people, and if you try to work with people in sectism, sometimes you cannot get very far with them sometimes. And they will say to you, I do not see this. I do not see that. I do not understand. I do not see this. And I don't see that. The reason they don't see those things, lots of times you're working with someone that's not even born again. You must be born again to see it. You must have the Spirit of Christ to be able to see some things, to be teachable. You cannot teach somebody that's not even born again because they won't see it. They won't see it like you. They will not understand at all. But when they're born again, the saints have always had a teachable spirit. If it's true, if it's biblical, they're willing to consider, they're willing to pray, they're willing to measure up to the light of God. They're teachable people. They're not driven. It said feed the church. It didn't say to be critical of them or harsh with them or try to bring them under bondage. That's not the Spirit of Christ. But the Lord's ministers want to feed the people, to feed the Word of God to them. And it says here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I remember one time when I heard, I don't know who she was, but one of our older ministers, maybe she's dead, gone now, but I remember she was preaching, and I think I heard it on a tape, but anyway, she was preaching, and she said that, you know, people today sometimes say, I just don't see that. I don't have a light on that. I can't, and she said, you need to just get saved so you can see some things. You need to get born again. You were saved one time. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe that's what's wrong with you. It's not the church. It's not the church of God's gone down. You've gone down. You've done something to get out of contact with God. But you get saved, you get born again, you have God's Spirit, you'll see. You'll see the truth. You'll see and understand. If you're not seeing some things, then it's because of you. It's not God. It's you. You've got a problem. And we need to face that. We need to really see it's ourself. If we have a problem with the church, it's us. It's not the church. The church is holy. The church is righteous. God is holy. There's only one God. We're going to answer to God someday. Every one of us will give an account to God for the deeds that we have done in our life. And so it's not God's problem. It's our problem. If we have a problem, we need to ask God to help us. I know I was studying this. A book I have on the Anderson Church of God, you know, where some of the background of us have came from, but the Lord has led us out. But you know, there's a lot of history of the church. I'm not going to go way back, but just going back in the 1800s. And I'm just going to go there for a little ways. And remember when Brother Warner and the different saints were calling the people and had a burden in 1880 to call them out of sectism and to be one body and one church. Even some of those people in the early 1900s started to see things differently. They started to take on things. And before long, just a little bit at a time, and a little bit at a time, until the floods of the world became in, until God finally left those people. He might be with a few. And I'm not saying everybody is unsaved, but the majority in the organization and the man rule, God is against it, and he's against it around us too. God does not want man rule. God does not want organization. He wants the Holy Spirit to lead his church and feed his church. And that's the only way it's going to work like God wants it to work. And we need to cry out and preach the truth and preach the word. And you know, I ask the Lord to help me, because I really feel like we need to teach more on the doctrines of the church. I think sometimes we think, oh, well, the saints know that. But if we don't teach it, you know what's going to happen? Not going to know it like they should. Things are going to slip away, because the enemy is coming. He wants to try to steal the truth from us. He wants to steal it, but he cannot do it. He cannot do it, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we need to hear it. It'll never get old. There's a song in our songbook that says, I love the old story. Well, you say, well, I'm going to sit here for 50 years or 60 years or 70 years and hear the same message. That's all right. If it gets it to heaven, it'll be worth it, won't it? I love to hear it. I can hear it over and over and over, and it doesn't get old to me. I remember one time, I think it was Brother Darius Gibson, they said he'd go to places. He didn't go to sectism to be among them. He went to teach them the truth. And you got to be very careful about that. But he was invited to preach to them. Well, if you were invited to preach to them, you could do that if the Lord gave you the liberty to do that. So he was preaching to them about the Church of God. And the revival, night after night, it was the same message about the Church of God. And finally, I believe someone even said to him, don't you have any other message for us? He said, no, that's all the Lord has given me, is the Church of God. You might think, how could you preach a revival on the Church of God? You could. You could preach. There's so much about the church you could preach night after night. Finally, the pastor of that church said, I know why that message is going on. He says, it's me. I need to be delivered out of sectism. And he got up and testified. He said, it's hard for me after teaching and preaching to the people wrong things. And he was saved, you know, but he wasn't willing at first to give it up and take his stand that I'm one of the saints. But he said, I'm willing to come to the Church of God. He said, I see it. I see it. Oh, saints, what do we see? If we see something, we're not going to flirt around with sectism. You know, the enemy would like to say to us, oh, you know, there's people out saved out there, and I could join them, and I could still be saved, and then I could do a few things that the saints won't will not accept, you know. Maybe I could wear pants. A woman could wear pants, or a woman could wear makeup, or she could do things like that. I'm just saying, instance, or a man could do some things that they would just say, well, you're just saved. Everything's fine. So what does God say? What does God say? What does God? It doesn't matter what people think so much. It matters in a way. We want people to think well of us, but what does God say? You know, if people say you're saved and you're not saved, what good is that going to do us if we're lied to? But God does not lie. He tells us the truth. He wants us to get to heaven. He wants to deny ourselves a little bit here. You know, what is it worth? You know, I just think about what, you know, for a woman to wear a pair of pants, why, and have liberty to do that, what good would that do and lose your soul? What would it be worth? It's such a small thing. Shame on us to even be tempted with anything like that, because after all, God gave his blood on the cross, and we can't give up a few little things. It's not very much. God wants women to look like women, and I'll tell you, this world has went so far that even the women out in the world, you hardly see a dress anymore. You hardly see, they look like, they're just dressed like men all the time with pants. They hardly own a skirt or a dress. It's the truth. Look out there. Go out and look around. But you know, God wants us to be ladies. He wants us to look like a woman. Oh, God wants there to be a difference in men and women. Oh, I tell you, it's a shame. Years ago, I remember, and I'm not that old, but when I was in junior high school, and we were not allowed to wear pants to school, we were not allowed to wear shorts to school, we had to wear dresses. When I was in grade school, I never wore pants. I never was allowed to wear shorts. And that was the world. I had to wear dresses. And that's the world. But this world educational system has went so far. And even nowadays, I don't know a lot about it, but I hear a little bit. But you know, they teach our children make-believe all the time. Make-believe this, make-believe that. But there's maybe I don't know, I don't even want to say go there. But I tell you what, God is in reality. God teaches us reality. We better be careful if we live in a world of make-believe all the time. That's not true. It isn't true. One of my daughters was talking about one of their children. They told somebody, they were talking around Christmas time, and this child spoke up to this person. They said something about Santa Claus, and the child just said, there's no Santa Claus. We know there's not a Santa Claus. And that person looked at me, and the daughter said, well, we teach our children the truth. The people in the world think you should teach them these things. Lies. It's not the truth. There's no Easter Bunny. No Easter Bunny. It's make-believe. But I'll tell you what. There is a true reason about Easter, and it's because Jesus died on the cross that we could be saved. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Too much make-believe. We need reality. We're adults. We need to know that the Lord requires us to be saved from sin. St. John 10 is not going to do any good for us to pat ourselves on the back and say, well, I'm a pretty good person, and I'm this and I'm that. Well, maybe you are. But if you're not born again with the blood of Jesus, you will not go to heaven. I will not go to heaven unless I keep saved, unless I keep with God, unless I do the things I should. We can backslide. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. You could get saved one time, but if you backslid, if you turned yourself away from God, you're in trouble today, and you need help with God. If I was to do it, saints, and you would know I was in trouble with God. Any of us. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. If I don't stay with God, God will cut me off, and I know that. But I love God, and it's not just because I want to miss hell, but that's a big reason. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the devil when I die. When I die, take it serious. I got to meet a God. You can't meet God for me. You may think I'm just perfect in every way, but I have to ask God to help me with my problems in life. If I make a mistake, I have to face God in a personal relationship, because when I die and I meet God in that casket, it's going to be me and God. It's not going to be you. You can't help me. temperate. We have to ask God. We have to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation. I have temptations, not to sin, but I have temptations. We'll all have temptations till we die. We have to be careful. This is a careful way. It's a serious way, saints. We're going to be required. Our soul's going to be required one of these days. We are all going to die. We're not all going to live here forever. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. One of these days, you're going to die, every one of us in this room. And we're going to face God. Just look around you. Look at the people you've known. Look at the people that sat in these pews. Our own dear pastor. Look and realize that people die. We're going to die too. And we're going to meet God. And that's what keeps me saved. That's what keeps me with God. That's what keeps me with Jesus. Sure, I love the saints. I want the saints to think well of me. But I don't want to go to hell. I don't want it. I want to go to heaven. I believe there's a heaven. And I know I'm going to face God. And I want to stay with this. I want to be faithful to God. Whatever I got to do. Oh, dear ones, if you try to come up some other way, the scripture says you're same as a thief and a robber. But many people today, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get to heaven with the least amount of resistance against sin. They want to do everything they want to do and still call themselves a saint. Some people do, I'm not saying everybody, but there are some people that are not doing what they should do, and they know it, and they still want to be called a Christian. And that's what sectism does. We can have people right among the saints that are in sectism in their spirit, in their heart. God wants people to live holy lives. He wants me to live that way. I have to live that way, or He will not bless us. He will not bless our church. He will not. It's a serious thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, I know one of these days I'm going to fall into those hands. And I want to fall right. I want to die right. I want to be ready to go. Oh, saints, it's a serious thing. Life is serious. It's not all play. Teaching our children too much make-believe. It's a serious thing to be alive. Death is serious and life is serious. It says here in the 10th chapter of St. John, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." People today are trying to climb up. I'm talking about sect spirit. A sectism spirit is trying to climb up a different way. They climb up. They don't want to go through Jesus. They don't want to go through the blood because it requires them something. There's a cost. We sing songs that says, "I paid the price and I obtained the prize." There was a price we had to pay to get saved. There are some things we had to lay aside to get saved. The Lord. I remember when my husband got saved years ago. He was in karate. And I just looked at him. I thought, he could not get saved that night. I was not there, but Grandma told me. He was at her house praying and crying and trying to get in that door. He could not get saved until he said, "Lord, I will give up karate." He had to cut that out of his life. He was almost a black belt. He had to cut it off. He had trophies, everything. God requires some things, saints. We got to throw away some of our clothes. We have to get rid of some of our things. We have to dress better. God wants modesty. He requires some things. We can't just live shallow lives and have God's spirit. We can't try to climb up a different way. But the world, this is what you hear. I have family members. I know I hear these things. Oh, God doesn't care. He doesn't care if you do this or that. You're too strict. Or they'll say, "Well, if that person gets to heaven, I'll sure go. Well, I'm not going to live that kind of life. Just say, count on, if someone else makes it, I'll surely make it." They can't answer for you. Oh, it's too serious thing. Death is too serious. It says here, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep," what? "Hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. What is he leading them out of? Leads them out of sin. He leads them out of sectism. He leads them out of every false way. He leads them out. Not in it. He don't keep them in it. He gets you out of it. I didn't stay in sin and get saved. I got out. I had to get out. I had to change my life. I had to do some things myself. We have to do some things ourselves to get a hold of this, to get a hold of God, to keep a hold of God. We got to be willing to deny ourselves some things. If the Lord puts his finger on it, we have to quit it. The Lord will tell us. He will talk to us. He says he knows us by name. We sing a song, I know my name is there. Well, I'll tell you what, God knows your name too. He knows your name. And he knows if you're in the book of life. And I'll tell you what, sectism can just write your name in that book. Oh, just write it. So pretty. But if you're not in the book of life, you're not in it. There's people today that's in that book, registered in some church, and counting on that to get to heaven, and they are not saved and in the right door. They didn't come the right way. They came through joining a church. You can't just join a church. You have to be saved in God's true church by the blood of Jesus. He is the only door. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Praise God this morning. I'm so glad the Lord led us out. Out of that rubbish. Out of that Babylon. And it is rubbish. Out of the false doctrine. Out of the evil. I don't want any part with it. And I don't want any part with it at all. No. Dear ones, we got to stand up for the right. We got to stand up for the truth. Because it's our souls at stake. It's not just, you know, people or the what we call the truth of the saints. That's wonderful. It's precious. But our souls at stake in this. This is a serious thing, you know. It says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If you hear a different sound, that doesn't sound strange to me. Then if they come right among us, if we hear something and it's not right, if it's false, we better be awake. We better listen. We better hear. We better not just take anybody in. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm not against ministers getting saved and coming with the saints and being preachers, but we need to know them that labor among us. We need to know their lives. We need to know how they stand on the doctrines. They need to take some time and prove themselves. Jerome, I got a problem with people just coming out of Baptist or something. They were a Baptist preacher and come in here and try to teach us. I got a little problem with that. I'm not saying they couldn't eventually do that. But we need some time to get to know them, to know they're saved, to know they're really one of us. I didn't come among the saints to hear Baptist preachers preach to me. I want to hear true, solid doctrines. I want to know them that labor among us. I want to know that they are right in the doctrines and let them have some time to prove themselves. And then it will work. They will have liberty. The saints will know when it's time. But we don't just take it in right away. Just let them have freedom and liberty. And, oh, we need to be watchful and prayerful. Serious thing. Serious thing. Oh, may God help us. I don't know. There's wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible says there is. It says here, they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. And then he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is a place where you can be fed. The pasture is a place where you can grow. Spiritual babes and those that drink milk, they grow, they learn. They're working on themselves all the time. They're growing, they're learning. They're feeding on this wonderful pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Who is the thief? The devil. The devil in every false way, every false doctrine is no good for us. It will steal our, it will steal from us. We don't want the devil to steal from us. We want the truth. We want to hear the truth preached right. Oh, I tell you, I get excited. I get excited and I want to hear. I want to hear the old time religion. I want to hear the gospel messages. Pray for the ministers. We have good ministers among us I have confidence in, and I want to hear the certain sound. I want to hear the truth preached. The old-time religion that will get us to heaven. Not in a harsh way, not in a bondage way, but an encouraging way. The truth will sound right. It will sound for us. It will hear it. It says, I am the door. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Any kind of spirit like that kills our spirit, dampens us, it discourages. We go away from the house of God down. We don't want to be hear that. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear something that gives us life. If Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. There's a scripture that said, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Oh, saints, true shepherds will tell the truth. True shepherds will warn us. It is not to hurt us. It is not to harm us. I know sometimes, and I don't even know, I'm not planning on preaching on things, but you know, sometimes we hear ministers, we may say, oh, they preach on things, and go home and just feel kind of bitter toward them, or hard. But you know, a true shepherd will teach the truth, will warn the sheep, because if they don't, the blood will be upon their own souls. They'll teach the truth because they love you, because they want you to get to heaven. If they teach, you may say, oh, but it's just too strict. Dear ones, it's not too strict. It's not too strict. The only thing the Lord calls us from is sin and wrong and evil and wicked things. And there's one scripture that says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Whether it comes through the TV or the internet or that computer, what you're doing at home, God knows what you're doing. You can't hide it. If it comes from magazines, whatever thing you look at, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate that wickedness. I will turn aside from it. It will not cleave to me. I don't want any part with it. All I want to see is holy things, righteous things. God will tell you. God will teach you. You know what you're doing. You know you have a conscience. You have a conscience. God will talk to it. God knows. You know what? It says the shepherd. The shepherd gave his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But what does the devil want to do to us? He wants to kill us. He wants to steal us. He wants to steal your salvation. He wants to steal everything you have. He wants to make you go to hell. If he could, he would. Sometimes you may wonder, why am I having this problem? Why is this happening to me? You know, the devil works. He works against us sometimes, but we can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We can be strong. We gotta be strong, saints. We gotta be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. We gotta be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've gotta have made up minds. I'm going to make it to heaven no matter what it costs. I'm gonna lay aside anything God brings up to me and tells me I have to lay aside no matter how it hurts. I'll be willing to do it because I want to go to heaven. Oh, I tell you, I was reading in this book. It stirred me up. I tell you what, people would come to the altar and they were preaching on the church of God and on the truth. They were trying to help people and they'd come crying to the altar and they'd say, what do you need, brother? Are you saved? Do you need to get saved? No, I'm already saved. Then what's the matter? Do you need to be sanctified with the Holy Spirit? No, I'm already sanctified. Then what is the matter? I need to be delivered from sectism. I need to come out and take my stand with the truth. And they were praying. And the devil
was holding them, trying, even though they had an experience with God, they had to come out and be separate. I tell you what, we can get in close places with relatives and people, because when we take a stand that this is the church of God and we are not going that way, and they stand right in your face and say, I'm just as saved as you are, and I don't have to do all these things, I can get by, but I'm just as saved as you are, and they don't like it. They don't like it. When you stand for certain things, it's not that they don't like you. They don't like what you stand for. They don't like what the saints stand for. It's not that they don't like us personally, I don't believe. But it's because we stand for some things. And you're not going to be liked. You might as well face it. The Lord said we will be persecuted. That's what he said. They will say all things falsely. You'll be persecuted sometimes for what you believe. Oh, I remember, I'll just say this real shortly. I want to be careful and stay with the word, but I feel like years ago, before Tammy was born, I was in the hospital. And after she was born, this doctor said, I want you to sign this baby up with this pediatrician. You take this baby every month to this pediatrician. And I said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I said, I'm trusting the Lord with my child. He did not like it. He did not like it at all. He come against me in a harsh way. And I said, you should do what I say. You should do this. You should take your baby to these checkups. Keep this baby under this. I said, I'm going to trust the Lord with my baby. And I said, I made a comment like this. I was trying to defend myself. And I said, when she grows up, she can decide what she wants to do. But I'm trusting the Lord. You know what he said? If she grows up. Well, she grew up. The Lord took care of her. But you know what? People are not going to always like what you stand for. But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. The Lord is on our side. They didn't like Elijah either, did they? Elijah says, build your altar to Baal. And they cut themselves and they're calling on God, everything. But Elijah said, Lord, he just prayed a simple prayer after they had dumped all this water on the altar and all this. He just prayed to the Lord to send the fire down and prove himself that he was his child. And the fire came down and licked all up that water and everything, the altar. And they said, they were hollering then, he's God! He's God! You know, that's what happens to saved people. You stay with the truth. You stay with what you believe. And the saved people will sometimes get in trouble, and they'll be calling the saints for prayer. And they'll say, he's God! You got the truth now! You're Christians, and I want help! It's all different there. Oh, saints, we got to be strong and courageous. We got to be faithful. The Lord's called us to be saints. Isn't that wonderful? I'm not ashamed of the Lord. If I'm in a restaurant, I'll pray to the Lord. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the way I dress. I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord has called us to be saints. We're not proud about it. We try to be nice to everybody in the public and everything, but we're not ashamed of being a Christian. They know. Oh, may God help us. Help us to remember that the Lord laid down his life for the sheep. It said, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know what? If we hear the truth preached and it's strong, and we believe, we really believe. And I, you know, how do I say this? The harlings don't care. The false doctrines and the false ministers that are preaching to you. You could be in double marriage. God doesn't care. He probably wasn't in that first marriage. Those people are harlings. They don't care for your souls. The ones that care, The messages might hit you. I may hit you. I don't mean hit you. The Word of God stirs up, hits me. The Word of God stirs us up. You remember the story about the two sisters sitting on the front row, and the one was praising God for the message, and the other one knew she hadn't lived to that. And she says, "You can't praise the Lord about that." And she said, "I can now, because I'm measuring up right now." You know, God gives us some room to measure up. He gives us room. He loves us. It says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd, one church of God." Praise God. Is that too strong? There's one fold. There's one Jesus, isn't there? There's one blood. You see, there's 10 Jesus. Is there 20 Jesus? No. And there's not 20 churches. Well, yeah, I see them all over in all the corners, but that's not his church. His church is one fold, one shepherd. That's so plain. One fold, one blood that redeemed me. It wasn't being joined to the Presbyterian that saved me. It wasn't going to Sunday school when I was a little girl, to Baptist and all these places. I just go to any Sunday school bus that would take me to church. Well, you say, "Well, did you get some good out of it?" I got a little good out of it. Yeah, a little good out of it. But when the Lord saved me, he didn't save me there. I never was saved there. When I got saved, I was with the saints immediately. I never was in sectism. You know that? The Lord saved me at 18 years old. We were worshiping Uncle Ralph's basement in Michigan. Ask him. We got baptized. Brother Murphy Allen baptized Jerry and I. I never was in sectism once I was saved. Yes, I was raised differently. But I never was in sectism. The Lord saved me and started me out on the right foundation. Praise his holy name. He gave me the inspiration. He gave me the truth. He showed it. He revealed it to me. And I've been happy ever since. I've been rejoicing. I don't want to get over it. It's a wonderful blessing. I thank God every day. Lord, thank you in my heart. I may not say it verbally, but God knows in my heart, I thank him. I thank him. I appreciate it. Oh, I appreciate the Lord and the truth. Oh, and saints, if you were raised among the saints, that's a wonderful thing. And if the Lord revealed the truth to you right among the saints as a little girl, whatever, it's a wonderful thing, or a little boy. Praise God for it. Well, I'm not any better than you are, and you're not any better than me. We're all equal in the sight of God. He showed us the truth. Praise God. Wasn't that wonderful? You stayed with it. There have been people that have been raised among the saints. They left. They didn't want it. But you stayed with it, and I admire that. I thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for you. You've got things you can share with me that I maybe didn't know. Tell it. Tell your testimonies. Praise God. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Not all kinds of different churches. It's a pitiful thing. Just think in this world right now, if everybody that was saved believed like us, there was no other churches. Just think about it for a moment. You either were saved or you were unsaved. You know what? We would have more people saved. We would have more glory. What a wonderful day. But you know what? It'll be that way in heaven. There won't even be nobody that's not saved there. Just be the saved people. Just be that one fold. That bride. You know, he's not coming after a bunch of brides, is he? When you get married, your husband only picked you, and you married him. There wasn't five other brides he married with me. I wouldn't want to marry him. But he married me. I was his bride. When Jesus comes, he's not coming after 10 brides. He's coming after the bride of Christ, are saved. That's who he's coming after. Oh, there might be two or three that comes out of the Baptist church. That's God. He knows where they're at. But if they'll listen to him, they'll come out before that time. But then we don't want them to stay there. Praise the Lord. We've got many among the saints that came out of different doctrines, different Catholics and Baptists. The Lord brought them out and showed them the truth. That's right. That's what we're made up of, saints. We have people that are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and many of them were led out of sectism and have stayed true. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Well, I won't have time to preach all these scriptures, but I'll tell you what. I've been a couple more scriptures the Lord will give me. Oh, I thank the Lord. It's just wonderful, the church of God, wonderful. I want to encourage your heart this morning. I'm so glad that the Lord has a people. He will have a people. No matter what it takes, he'll always have a people that will be true, his remnant. Ephesians 5 and 27 says, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. It didn't say glorious churches. It says glorious church. He might present. You know what he's doing? He's trying to get all the spots. He gets all the spots out of us, all the wrinkles out of us, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. His desire for his church, and they are saved and they're sanctified, they're holy and without blemish. They're not living in sin. They're not committing adultery. They're not watching wicked things. They're not messing around with bad magazines. They're not doing these evil things. They're not on the internet doing bad things. They're not doing bad things. God's watching. They're not going to outdoor theaters. They're not going to movie theaters. They're not doing these things. They're not wearing different clothes when the saints aren't around. When I go on vacations, I wear the same clothes. That's my husband. I wear the same clothes. I don't wear different clothes. You know what? God knows what you're doing. You can hide it from the saints. You can do things and the saints don't know, but God knows what you're doing. And I'll put myself in there. I'm not going to make it to heaven if I do something that God doesn't want me to do. If it's against the word and against the Bible, and God, it doesn't matter if you're doing certain things in front of the saints, you do certain things away from the saints, God knows what you're doing. God is talking to you this morning. God's talking to me. He knows what we're doing. He knows exactly. And we have to make it right with God. We got to make it right because God wants a glorious church. He's going to have a glorious church. If we want to be in that glorious church, we have to live free from sin, of all kinds of sin, whether it's dress. And ladies, I know sometimes you may be tempted with this makeup and this stuff, but when I got saved, I had to quit it. I wore mascara when I was a teenager. I wore mascara. I wore lipstick. I wore all makeup. But when I got saved, I quit it. I threw it away. You cannot do these things and please God. The only woman that was painted in the Bible was Jezebel. And she was all ate up by the dogs. I think maybe it was her hand that was left. Or it says right there, she had a painted face. God wants us to be natural. I don't think saints look good with lipstick on, do you? Would you want to see me up here with red lipstick on? Would you? I'm asking you. Would you want to hear me preach with red lipstick on and mascara on? Then what? We don't want to be doing that. We don't want to be hiding things in our medicine cabinets. We need a clean house. God knows what we're doing. Knows if we have makeup bags. I don't know why I'm saying this. But I tell you what, God deals with us. I bought some cream before and the lady says, this red lipstick comes with it. It's free. That's why I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't wear it. They look at you funny. But you know what? I don't want that stuff. I don't want red lipstick. Oh, my God, help us. A glorious church.
that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Have you ever had a skirt or something that have a spot on it? You try to rub it out, and you just couldn't get it out. But God's church doesn't have any spot, any blemish. This is why we have to be so careful as saints to live that life, that God can help us to live that holy life. What carefulness it wrought in us. What clearing of ourselves. We have to do that every day. We have to stay in contact with God. And it takes prayer. It takes lots of prayer to keep up with it. We must keep this. Saints, I'm going to say a statement, and I'm saying it, and you might say it's too bold. This is how much I believe when I'm preaching this morning from my heart. I would rather die and go on to be with God than backslide. To let God down mostly, or to let you down. That's how strong. Do you think I don't love my life? I love my life. I love to live. I love the joys of life, but I would rather die than backslide. Because it's so serious. I wouldn't want to disappoint you. I wouldn't want to hurt you. But mostly, I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to go to hell. This is so true in my heart. This is so real. It's not anything playing. I'm not playing religion. This is truth. May God help us. I'll get one more scripture and I'll sit down, Lord willing. And this is in Matthew 16:18. And I just want to encourage you this morning. You pray for the ministers. Pray for me. Pray for the ministers. Pray for our camp meeting. Start praying. Pray. You know, we got a situation in the world today. And you hear this. I've been listening to the radio quite a bit. My husband, he listens, and I started listening some. Sometimes I get in my car. He's had my car. He's got it on, so I listen a little bit. And you know, there's people that, you know, they say, well, I'm not going to name just certain, but some people are just more conservative in the leadership of the country, okay? I'll put it that way. They're more conservative. And then there's some that's more liberal, right? Am I right? Okay, well, you know what? Among the true saints of God, we've got the same problem. We got ministers, and I'll say this truth. We got saints that are more conservative. And we got some liberal. Now, God wants to balance us. He wants us not to be fanatical, and he doesn't want us to compromise. But he does not want us going liberal and going with the world. He wants us to... We're not going to get anywhere doing that. We are not going to get anywhere with God doing that. I'd rather lay aside some things that were questionable and keep conservative and make it to heaven than maybe do a little bit of something and get too liberal and lose my soul, because the devil is out to kill us and steal away from us. But you know what? We need to get on our knees. As we're praying for the leaders of the country, we need to pray for the leaders of the Church of God. Start praying. Pray that they'll preach the truth in all its power and glory, and the doctrines, right? The doctrines is what? It's not so much what you believe and I believe, but what the Bible says. And like I said, there was a tract one time, and I read the scripture, Matthew 16:18. And it says here, and I say also unto thee, now Peter's not that rock, but he's talking to Peter. He's talking about himself, Jesus. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I'm going to say something this morning. There was a petition years ago, and there was something, and the television was bound by the saints. That it was bound, that it was wrong. And I'm taking a stand this morning. That television is wrong and wicked. And I don't know how far on this computer
I'm not saying I use the computer for bookkeeping. But I tell you what, I'm not saying you can't be on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, and I'm not going to get involved in all that. And I'm sure not going to get on there and talk to married men. I tell you what, there's some things going on that we need to cry out against. Why would married women want to get on there and ask to be friends with married men? Now, maybe their wife together is one thing. We need to be careful when it comes to gender. We need to keep a separation. Communication is what gets people in trouble. Communication. You've got to keep a separation for your own soul's sake. May God help us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say, but he said there's things that the saints can bind. The saints have taught us not when they got to wear pants, it's bound. Now, that's the way I feel about it. It's bound. It pertains to a man wearing men's apparel. It's bound. We can look into the scripture more, but I'll tell you what. God, you think that the ministers can cry out against something and preach something for years and lay aside things, and then you can go to heaven and say, well, I saw it differently. May God help us. May God help us. I'll just leave that with you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. He has a glorious church. You pray for me.